Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
And my own.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
That's right. It is Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us here on this Monday. Caleb Hamill and Josh West with you. Dalton Stanford behind the board, making everything technologically sound, even though my phonetics are failing on me.
Well, my lip syncing of the intro wasn't as good as it was last week. I was a little off.
Oh, but it is good to be back in studio. Glad to be with you wherever you're listening. If you're live on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 or listening on demand, happy to have you along to hear about all things William Carey Athletics. Going to be talking a couple different sports today. Going to lead things off with a little bit of volleyball, but then cruise through the rest of the show talking some men's soccer at the university. But first up, Josh, is one of our favorite guests to have on.
One of the favorites.
And that's we don't just say that to every coach, do we? We say it at least once an episode, maybe.
Once an episode.
We'll limit it to that. Sorry for Coach Farrell, who's going to join us later. But Coach Rhonda Shirley is on the phone joining us here to start off Crusader Talk. First of all, Coach, happy summer. How has it been for you?
Great. Lots of camps and just getting geared up for my players to report. You know, they'll all be here a week from today, so I'm super excited.
Josh and I were joking about this earlier in the summer. We had a little break in the action. You could tell that we were scraping for summer content at this point, but we were talking about what was each coach's either ideal summer vacation or type of vacation or what kind of vacation would best represent them. I think we kind of struggled on yours, to be frank. I think we had some ideas, but we wanted to get it straight from the horse's mouth. What is your ideal vacation?
Family. I went back. My older kids flew into Iowa, where I was born and raised, and we were back there 2.5 weeks ago, and I got to spend 10 days with – I'm one of 8 kids, and I got to spend time with my parents that are 87 and 86, 67 years of marriage, and got to spend a lot of time with my siblings, and we just hung out. So for me, family.
Coach Shirley, so good to hear your voice again. If you're basically in Iowa, I'm thinking that you're on the farm with the fam. That's got to be some really good. That's got to be some really good eating.
Yes, it is. I grew up on a farm. Yep, I grew up on a farm. And we had cattle, soybeans, corn. I am an Iowa farm girl through and through, and I don't think a lot of people even know that about me, so there it is.
Are you a steak fan, like from Twister? I'm thinking of the scene from Twister with the massive steaks and the massive potatoes, or are you more all about the veggies?
I'm all about the good. We raise cattle, and I'm all about the good beef. And I am 100% the 100% farm girl of beef. And you're not going to tell me any different.
I like it. All right, Coach. You alluded to it a little while ago. I had a busy summer full of camps and whatnot. Players getting ready to report. Walk us through a little bit about what that looked like from your perspective as a coach.
Yeah, this is the busiest in my 20, almost going into 29 years of coaching. It's aging me, but busiest I've ever been running camps. But that just tells me, like, I am so excited about being able to help elevate, like, I think Mississippi volleyball. But we did 2 straight weeks of camps on our campus, and almost all of my area kids were there to help. And there were times we had over 125 young kids in our gym.
Wow, that's
on
a
given day. Yes, it was amazing. It's been a tiring summer, but an awesome summer. I just love how volleyball is exploding in our area, and I can't wait to continue it. But it has been amazing.
What has this snowball effect been like over the last 5 to 10 years? And where do you see Mississippi volleyball in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I mean, I've only been here, this is just my third summer of doing volleyball in this area, but I'll give you some numbers. The first time I did a middle school or high school camp, we maybe had 12, maybe if we were on a good day, 20 kids in a camp when we're doing those weeks. There were times, like I said, the team camps, 125, the individual camps for specialized camps, we could have anywhere from 40 to 60 kids in there. So I'm just so excited about how people are excited about volleyball, wanting to learn about it, and how it's growing. It really is growing. It was grassroots when I got here, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think what is great about it is the interest, the excitement, and how the younger kids are wanting to get involved. And that's where it's all about. And I'm talking elementary to middle school kids. And it's great, and I'm so glad to be a part of it.
Talking to Rhonda Shirley, head volleyball coach at William Carey University here on Crusader Talk. Coach, I've seen posts off and on of the different camps going on. I also saw recently where the schedule was released, a lot on the road early on in the year. A lot of good competition to be played as well.
Yeah, we are challenging ourselves, which may not always result in the win column. It could. But at this point in time, after the success we had last year and seeing the competition we saw at the end of the season, I've always been a firm believer in you have to play the best to understand what it takes to be the best. And then if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. So I'm not afraid to ever play the top-notch teams. Again, it might not always reflect in our win-loss record, but the tournaments we are going to, yes, it's been strategic. We are going to play some tough teams. But I know that it's going to prepare us not only for conference, but also for postseason. And, you know, I feel like we'll have a good group to be able to handle that. Does it mean we're going to end where we want to? Maybe not. But this is the growth of what I've done in the past, and for sure for William Carey Volleyball. So I'm super excited about it.
Now, Coach, we'll get a chance to do a full preview with you in the coming weeks once we get closer to the first match of the year. But before we get to learn all the different characters that will be part of your program on the court, let's talk about on the sideline for a little bit. You're going to have a new assistant volleyball coach with you over there, Lauren Lanford. What can you tell us about her?
Oh, my gosh. Probably one of the best assistants I could probably put on the sidelines at this time, and I feel like we're going to be one of the strongest staff. I don't normally boast too much, but strongest staff, I think, in our conference. She has a wealth of knowledge, and I'm not going to go through it now, but if you guys have time in the next episode, we go back to when I was years and years back in junior college of coaching in Texas, and she was at SFA. But she is a Division I player. She recruited some of my players when I was coaching junior college in Texas. And she has a wealth of knowledge, great recruiter, great technical person. And I hit the jackpot getting her on my sideline. Like, if that's the best signee I've had this year is my assistant on the sideline.
Hey, a big coaching staff and a great coaching staff can oftentimes definitely bleed into a terrific team as well. Starts from the top down, I would say. Josh, you got something for Coach?
Well, Coach, again, we're excited. Can't wait to hear more of those stories. And I can't wait to see this group come together because I know they're going to be energetic, athletic, passionate. They're going to bring all this energy, this momentum that has been building. And so I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. So I'm super excited, and thank you so much for having me on here, because you guys like help us, promote our sport, and it's great. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, that is Rhonda Shirley, head volleyball coach at William Carey University. Exciting to see some of the summer moves going on. I know they had, as she pointed out, tons of camps, youth camps, middle school camps, prospect camps, all kinds of different things going on, just elevating the game, but also bringing a lot of people to campus. And I feel like that's always the first hurdle for people when it comes to being exposed to William Carey. It's get them on campus and help them realize what this is that you can be a part of.
And once you get them to campus, you usually get that signature, if you will. They're usually staying on campus once you get them to campus.
Yeah, that's it. That's part of the biggest hurdle in it all, and they're breaking down barriers over there with William Carey Volleyball. All right, in the coming segment, we have in studio with us today Coach Barry Farrell from William Carey Men's Soccer. A little bit of a preview coming up, but also some unfortunate news to share. We'll bring that up to you coming up in just a little bit. Coach Farrell's still sticking around. Don't worry. That's not the news we're talking about. But do want to have you stay with us into our next segment. As in studio, it'll be Coach Barry Farrell. More to come as we continue on with Crusader Talk.
Listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
It's always hard knowing how to approach different segments of this show.
Sure.
And sometimes you like to sandwich, you know, things together. It's almost like when you are trying to be critical of someone, you do that compliment sandwich. Hey, you're doing a good job. You could, you know, improve in this area, but hey, I really appreciate all that you do. I really don't know how to sandwich this because it's just one of those things that is never easy to talk about. This is Crusader Talk. We're joined in studio by Coach Barry Farrell, head soccer coach at William Carey. I'll stop being so vague. Some of you will remember last week we closed out the show talking a little bit about one of the players of William Carey soccer from last season, Santiago Cardona. Colombian, did not play as much as many of his teammates a year ago. Did have a goal against Tougaloo that was pretty special. May have a clip of that we could play back in a little bit. But tragically, he was in a motorcycle accident a few weeks back. And we talked on the show last week about how you could help him out with his GoFundMe and the medical expenses. And, at the time, we knew that he was in intensive care, undergoing a couple different procedures. Unfortunately for all of us, he has since passed. And our hearts go out to Santiago's family, as well as the William Carey soccer family and athletics family as a whole. One thing about Santiago, and this doesn't make this any less tragic, he was not going to be a participant of William Carey's soccer team next season. He had already transferred out, but at the same time still maintained a lot of relationships with the program, and we brought in his coach, which this was on the schedule before we even knew about Santiago passing away. But Coach Farrell, just immediate reaction from when you found out the news about a week ago.
Yeah, it was awful. As a coach, it's one of those things that you never want to hear. You know, I've gone through tornadoes and hurricanes, and this was new for me. And it's something you always worry as a coach deep down in the back of your mind, and you hope it never happens. But it was just an awful situation, and something that no coach wants to ever live through.
Yeah. Now, one bright spot, and this is, I guess, where you try to get into that sandwich of, you know, trying to look at the bright side and, you know, see everything that comes from different situations. You had told me earlier that you had been messaging with his agent, the one that had helped you possibly in the recruiting and coordination with Santiago years ago, just about the situation, and he had quite an uplifting response to you.
Yeah, he just texted me today, and he said, like, listen, the parents are very grateful with all his friends and at William Carey and the school. And you know, he basically said he lived the best year of his life here in Mississippi at William Carey. So that was, you know, you hear that as well. It's, you know, and he had some great friends here at William Carey. Andres Kokoska, Alessandro Villarreal, both guys that set up that GoFundMe account for his family back home. And those guys have been texting me daily with updates, etc. Just a difficult situation.
Is that GoFundMe going to now transfer to the family? Is that going to be for final expenses and for some of the help moving forward for the family?
Correct. It's still there as well. But I know the guys had raised, and it was close to $5,000.
Yeah, current that I see right now is $4,228 as we record today.
Yeah.
Just a tough situation. No team ever needs to go through that. I mean, we think about earlier this season, Mobile, I believe it was, went through some, or no, it wasn't Mobile. It was Florida. Oh, which Florida team was it?
Florida National.
Yeah, Florida National. Mm-hmm. Sorry, got my teams mixed up there. It was Mobile basketball that I was thinking of. But Florida National, yeah, lost one of their players not too long before they were supposed to play Carey. And so that was a fresh wound for them. And I can only imagine what some of the guys are going through right now with William Carey. Now, I don't know how to transition out of, you know, something like this. I mean, it's such a tough situation. But again, just for everybody that's out there, if you want to be a part of helping out that situation, especially for his family down in Columbia, you can donate. That GoFundMe page is still live. You can search for his name, Santiago Cardona, on the GoFundMe.com website. It'll take you there. It'll be the first result. It'll say support his intensive care recovery. That was the original title when he was still with us and recovering in the hospital. But obviously a change of purpose, as Josh mentioned, and Coach Farrell for that matter. That those funds are going to be going to support his family, helping with all the expenses related to his injury and eventual passing.
I know for you, Coach, though, is to have these guys be winners not only in the game of soccer but in life, to see guys like Kokoska, Villarreal, the way that they stepped up to support the family and to support their brother, that's got to make you very, very proud. A lot of these guys, whether through graduation, whether through that Pavia, we call it the Pavia rule, the quarterback at Vanderbilt, and the NCAA rules, there's a fifth year. Guys have taken advantage of getting another year. I've got a lot of Carey guys that did their 4 years at Carey, if you will, or their last years of NAIA eligibility went on to NCAA. Some guys chose to transfer out. But all those guys have been touched by this Carey program, and it's been a lasting impact. For example, going back to the show last week, we heard from Gio Soares, he wishes he had one more year to play at Carey.
Yeah.
You know, so just your thoughts as a whole of the impact of the feedback that you're getting from guys of how they're taking those principles at Carey and applying those to everyday life.
Yeah, it was a great culture that we had last year at William Carey. I mean, it's a family, you know, just not men's soccer or soccer in general, just the whole, we say Carey family, you know. Going back to what you said, Gio, we always say the Carey boys, you know, and that's what they are. They're a family, and those guys will be friends for life, even after William Carey. When those players got that extra year for that NCAA rule, they were like, hey, will the NAI bring in this rule? And the Godbolts and the McConnells and the Jamie Wins and the Giovanni Soares, they would all play an extra year at Carey rather than playing NCAA. So, yeah, we had a great finish to the season, and that's what we kind of want to do in preseason is continue that kind of culture and family.
And so with that said, there are 22 guys are no longer with the team this year, with transfers, graduation, et cetera, opened up a lot of spots for a lot of young men to have a chance to come and be a part of this year. So you've been quite busy this summer rebuilding this roster.
Yeah. You know, we brought in some freshmen, but we've also brought in some grad students with experience and senior players with 1 year left as well. Some D1 transfers as well has come the other way. So it was all about a balance. But I think we've done a good job in the recruiting between the varsity and the development team. We've brought in 30 new players.
And only you could find someone that has Asian background in terms of Asian descent from Ireland.
You know it.
Only you could find that player. And he's a baller.
Yeah. I actually watched him. I was at a showcase a couple of years ago, and he had just come off. He just come off, and he's got a real thick Irish accent as well. You'll love it. But and he's got he's got a great name, Figo. But I seen him two years ago, and I knew he was going to go Division One, and I said I'll probably get him on the back end. And there we are. I got an email about a week ago when I was over in Ireland, and we got it done last minute. We just announced him today. So great player, but you'll love his personality as well.
Caleb, you're going to love calling that guy.
Yeah, Figo from Mount St. Mary's transferring into William Carey. That's going to be fun. I mean, this whole staff of guys and a lot of new faces, new names, and new numbers that I'll have to get under my belt. But I look forward to the challenge, and hopefully I have to look forward to a lot of quick looking down at my notes as somebody's making a score. I hope that is the case as we get on to the season. Any other names that have stood out to you as far as newcomers to the program?
So you'll kind of the two players kind of that jumps out as is Daniel Malaro. Daniel, in my opinion, was the best player in Division One Junior College last year. Myself and Coach G went up to Kansas, and I've been watching him for quite a while, and he was amazing at the national championship. Got to the semifinal, Hattiesburg FC in the USL 2. We played in the summertime, and I thought he was, you know, one of the best players in the league, and so he'll come in, kind of fill that Kevin McConnell role. He's got goals. He's a free kick specialist. He'll get plenty of assists. Just a joy if you're a forward. Just a joy kind of to play with. Lewis Green, you know, 6'5", English defender, no nonsense, leader, extremely good in the air, vocal. Something we've probably missed a little bit. Again, an NCAA transfer with 1 year left to play. And then you've got some returners like Joshua Salas, Rico Duggan. Rico had an amazing year there as well with Hattiesburg, and Salas is still playing USL 2 in the semifinals of the conference. So we've got, I feel, midfield with Mark Herrero coming back and some newcomers as well. We got a really strong midfield.
Looking forward to seeing what they are able to accomplish. Coach Rowell is going to keep in the studio for another segment. We look forward to hearing a little bit more about soccer, but I think we'll turn the page over to a little bit more of the personality side. Hear a little bit about what Coach Rowell's been up to over this summer in his more R&R type of experience. Not the coaching and all the training things going on. We want to hear about Coach Rowell, the man, and the trip that he was able to take most recently over the last few weeks. This is Crusader Talk. Josh and I will be back with you in just a bit.
You're tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Stankovic, he gets back to Stankovic. Stankovic wisely lays off of it. He looked up and saw Cardona heading in. How about that? In a celebration to boot.
All right, back on Crusader Talk. Glad to be with you. Coach Barry Farrell back in studio for another segment with us as we continue to talk about William Carey soccer coming up in the 2025-26 season. A little bit more, but more importantly than soccer, I think we need to talk about what the golf game's been like and what this big trip that we've talked about on this show before. We've been almost counting down to it more than we have the upcoming soccer season.
Well, you could say that in a sense we were living vicariously through Coach.
Absolutely. I mean, even when we were doing our little, what's a ideal coach's vacation, or you know, which one matches their personality most, this came up again. And so, Coach, I intentionally did not want to hear all the details about this before we got in studio today because I wanted to be able to experience it live with everybody else out there. You and a handful of your buddies, all with William Carey ties, I think all with William Carey ties, got to set out across the pond back to your homeland and get a little golf, a little bit of the Open Championship, a little bit more. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
It was jam-packed. Tracy English, Jeff Mixon, myself, DJ Pulley, the legend of DJ Pulley as well. We all, you know, we've been planning this probably for a year. It was 6 days of golf. We ended up going to Dublin. We ended up getting in the British Open as well, a practice day in the British Open. I mean, it was jam packed. Yeah, we even got to go to a castle in Trim, County Meath, where Braveheart was filmed, four scenes there. I mean, it was just jam packed, but the golf was brilliant. You know, it was 85 degrees, no humidity. I think DJ wanted to be kind of blown off a cliff, you know, and playing golf, but we got a little bit of that on the last day, but it was unbelievable weather as well. Great trip.
So he wanted to be able to fly this ball down. He thought that he had gotten his game in shape, where yep. he was going to play along the ground and out links you to death, and the weather didn't cooperate.
The weather didn't cooperate. But DJ, I mean, DJ's, he's a player. He can play. You know, he played really well. But Ireland, like, it's different. You know, it's links golf, fairways are tight, rough is long, greens play a little slower than America. Bunkers, you've got steps to go down into the bunker. You know, if you get into the bunker, you're in trouble.
Sure.
But it was an experience.
But DJ doesn't have the 100-yard putt.
109.
109. To 4 feet.
To 4 feet.
And yeah. He made the birdie.
Yeah. Top in.
That's nice.
Come well done. On. Wish we had the golf clap queued up for Coach. That would have been perfect.
But, you know, I was going to put you on the spot about this, but you at least hinted at it to me earlier. How was Mixon as a roommate?
Oof.
The tread lightly here.
It was an experience, put it that way. No, Mixon, it was Jeff's first trip outside North America, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you got to imagine. So when we were planning this trip, these guys didn't have passports. You know, I was like, I know Tracy had traveled to Australia a long time ago, but GJ Pulley, I don't think he's been across the pond either. So those guys had to get their passports, you know, they money exchanged, talking with their bank about it. They were clueless. But it was an experience, you know, because it's I'm rooming with Jeff and it's 4 a.m. in the morning and the sun is shining. You know, and the sun's bouncing off Jeff's head, and it's and it's bright until 11:30 at night. It was just, it was completely different. So it was an experience. But yeah, no, Jeff's a phenomenal golfer as well. Tracy English as well on day one and day four. You could see he could play back in the day. He had some great shots. DJ as well. I mean, just a phenomenal golfer and. I kind of grinded. I actually played really well. I grinded around. I probably played my best golf on the hardest course down in Wicklow, the European Golf Club. But yeah, all the boys, I mean, it was an experience. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Now, you told me that you got to experience a little bit, not just to play in golf, but did y'all also get to take in a practice round of the Open? Or did that come to fruition?
Yeah, we again, it was the day. It was tight because it was the day before we were actually leaving, and we had to take the British Open was actually in Northern Ireland, right up the top at Royal Portrush. So we actually got a train. We actually took three trains to get up there. That was an experience. I know DJ's knocked off, you know, the Masters. He's knocked off. I want to say he's knocked off the PGA and the US Open. So he just had that fourth one and
he just got the slam.
Yeah, he's got to do the PGA, maybe just one next year he's going to. I might be wrong on that, but he was probably never going to experience a British Open. So I think it's been only the second or third time in on the island of Ireland. So we took about 4 or 5 hours to get up there. We spent 3-4 hours on the course, you know, seeing Scottie Scheffler. I mean, he didn't miss a putt in 30 minutes. So right away, I was like, he's going to be close to winning this. End up seeing my old friend Shane Lowry, got a ball autographed, gave it to my dad. So that was a good prize. He won at Royal Portrush in 2019. But yeah, it was for me, even being from Ireland, it was a phenomenal experience.
Had you met Shane before?
No, Just, he's my boy.
The way he said it, I said, I've got to ask now, how far do they go back?
I had to bump all the kids out of the way and say, Shane-o. And he looked around and seen that Irish accent. Yeah. And yeah, he signed my ball. And
it was endearing.
It was endearing.
You won him
yeah.
over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, for you, it's going home. But for the other three guys, I'm sure there were a lot of takeaways and memories made. What do you think stood out to them most?
I think DJ was definitely the British Open. Like, that was just, you could see his eyes kind of open up about that. It was amazing for him. I think the boys just playing, the golf was the big thing. Listen, we went for the golf. But if you've never been to Ireland, just flying in, it's just so green, you know, and, mm-hmm. And with the weather being so hot, the Irish players were giving out about being a heat wave, you know, and they were actually going off the course where we were just continuing. This is great weather. I just think just playing golf on the coast, the Irish links. I mean, the Irish Sea was there. That was probably one of the best memories for the boys.
And let's be clear. A heat wave over there in that part of the country is how many degrees Fahrenheit?
I mean, you get anything in the 80s. I mean, it's a heat wave. I mean, yeah.
And that was going to quit after 9.
They were going in after 9. Yeah.
But I want to know. So for me, it would have been just catching. There was a time, I know that at some trips, you and some buddies have stayed with the fam.
Yeah.
So if there was a trip back to the Farrell household, and mom and dad made the traditional Irish breakfast. Mm. What would that be? What would be on the menu?
Well, so that was on the first. Off. That was on the first day. We got in 6 or 7 o'clock, and you know they put an Irish breakfast on, and it was like, oh, what's on this plate? You know, so the bacon is definitely different. I don't think they enjoyed the bacon. Sausages were great. Black and white pudding. You know, no one knows what that is out here, so I didn't tell them what it was, and they were digging into it, and then I was like, you know what that is? And that's pig's blood, you know, fried. So mixing like the white pudding, you know, but there was a lot of protein on the plate. You can't be eating that every single day, but I think it was an experience.
I don't know how I feel about that one. Now, that said, I came from Corinth, where they made brains and eggs every now and then for breakfast. Abe's Grill, I think you can still get it there. But I got a couple minutes left, and I got to ask, when is the invite coming out for Josh and myself to do this trip with you? Or when is the trip going to expand and include us sometime?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some courses.
We could do Crusader Talk live from out there in Ireland, or send it in to Dalton. He'll put it in the board, and we'll act like we're doing it on location.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry, Dalton. I hate to say you're not included, but somebody has to run the board while we're gone.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we've got a course down in south of Ireland, down in Cork, Old Head, which is top golf course. So that's definitely on. I know DJ's itching to get back. You know, DJ played well, but I've seen DJ shoot 67 in golf courses, and when he was hitting like 79, 80, he wanted another go at one of the golf courses. So I know he's itching to get back. Maybe not next year, but year after for sure.
That's great.
By the way, happy Masters Rejection Day to all of you out there that put in for tickets every year. Those emails got sent out today or are on your way to the inbox. You can check out your account if you tried to get a ticket. And get the early confirmation of what you probably already know.
Or you could be like me and forgot to take the second step of the ticketing process.
You made the account but didn't register.
Forgot to register.
See, Josh, if you would have just put in, you would have knocked my spot one further in the queue to where maybe I would have gotten lucky.
There's always 2027. Maybe there's always 2027.
That's right. They have a little link for reminders that can you can get an alert to say, hey, it's time to register again. As they wring their hands in their evil way that they do. But nevertheless, they also put a big disclaimer of like, hey, you cannot transfer these tickets if you get them. If you order them, they're yours. Can't resell. Because they did kick some people out this year or turn them away at the door because they realized they got tickets that they didn't originally purchase.
So, ooh.
Helpful note in the future.
So how do you have to go through an official purchase, secondary marketplace purchaser of Masters tickets to get in?
I think it's just that
through travel agencies or whatever.
I don't think there is transfer. I think it is strictly limited to when you are in the portal and you are gifted the opportunity to buy tickets. Either you buy them for yourself and your peers, or you don't buy them at all, or else it's basically forfeited. Mm. Non-transferable.
So there's no way to go buy a $1,500 ticket through a travel agency or something?
I don't know of an official way. I don't think there is. That's, they keep it tight. They keep it affordable when you get there with all the concessions and everything else, but they keep it locked down to where it's luck of the draw, not the elitists that always make it in. But all that said, happy Rejection Day to y'all out there that try to go watch the Masters every year. Coach Merrill, thanks so much for joining us. It was good to talk a little bit of golf, talk a little soccer, and thanks for also helping us memorialize Santiago's life and legacy.
Thanks, boys.
Enjoyed it.
All right. He is Coach Farrell. Josh and I will be back with you for one final segment as we count our way down through the summer days where volleyball and soccer are about to kick into high gear. Stay with us. Crusader Talk continues next.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment for you on Crusader Talk. Still got a lot coming up as we continue down in the months to come, or months, weeks to come, as we count down to the start of the official athletics calendar of 2025 and 2026. We'll have Coach Danny Owens on coming
next
up
week.
Yep, next week. We'll hear about how his team is looking coming into the new year. A lot of new pieces coming through there, just like with Coach Farrell's bunch. Also, man, just looking at the calendar, counting down the days to when volleyball begins their season. Man, we are, let's see, are we a month away now? We're less than a month away, I want to say.
August 21st, LSUA, season opener, 11 a.m.
That's crazy.
Happy birthday to me, then.
Hey, there you go.
That'll be nice and toasty warm. Coach Farrell will be ready to melt LSUA right out of town.
Yeah, we are exactly a month away from LSUA in men's soccer. Coach Owens' bunch, just looking at their schedule and what they have coming up, I believe they are – I see it's not there. It's going to be in one of my messages with them. But their season is going to feature a lot less home games than
just a lot
company.
And less games. And talking to Coach Owens about that, it's just tough for them to schedule. I mean, they are perennial, year in, year out, one of the top five teams in that conversation for national championship. There aren't many teams that want to play you in non-conference.
So I got the schedule pulled up for Danny's bunch, and oddly enough, according to what he's got here, they're playing LSUA on the same day that Coach Farrell and them are, just different locations. So the girls will be home, the guys will be on the road.
Was that at LSUA? Okay, so the guys are at LSUA. Oh, yeah. Well, then it'll be so much cooler in Alexandria.
That's right.
Yeah.
Further south you go and closer to the Red River, maybe?
Yeah, no, not at all. In fact,
that's a great breeze that blows off that water.
Yeah, and Alexandria. No, it will be miserably hot on the 21st.
Yeah, pretty much. But again, just thinking about the guy's schedule, that trip to Alexandria is one of very few that they will take. In fact, they will not have another road game. So that game was August 21st. So after that match, you have to go all the way to October 2nd.
Whoa.
Before his guys will travel to Bruton Parker in Mount Vernon, Georgia. They'll go on and face Thomas while they're on the road on October 4th, so a little Thursday-Saturday meeting. Before they come back home for a couple matches and then finish off the regular season with two matches on the road, Thursday against Faulkner in Montgomery and then against Point in West Point, Georgia. But outside of that, everything else, Danny Owens Field, Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
And they were undefeated at home last season.
That's right. Oh, I got to brag about that I didn't lose a match that I called. Oh, which means I should have followed them to the national championship. So maybe that can get put in the budget this coming year.
But would you have frozen, just frozen into one block of ice? You wouldn't have been moving.
Right.
They were running around and almost froze.
I was about to say, they should have moved some of that indoors, which they have played that tournament indoors before over there in Kansas.
Not an issue.
But not this year.
Not an issue anymore.
Will not be an issue this coming year because they're going to be in Orange Beach, Alabama.
Ooh.
If they can make it to the championship. And I certainly hope Coach Farrell and his bunch will do just that. So it'll be fun. That'll be in Orange Beach. And then the women's championship, I want to say, is not too far away either. It's in Florida, maybe Pensacola, if I remember right. Somewhere around there.
Yeah, Foley, Pensacola, something like that.
Or Foley, maybe, yeah. So Foley's literally basically Orange Beach. And we get our weekly Bucky's reference in there. So
yes.
We'll stop by there on the way. I promised myself I was going to try to avoid talking about it this week, but
we all knew that wasn't going to happen.
I let myself down. But hey, we didn't do it. We didn't spend a whole segment talking about it like we have like the front of the show for the last 2 weeks.
That was not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. We'll get back to our conversations about the fried chicken Wednesdays at the Carey Calf.
Yeah, there we go.
In a little bit. By the way, did you go there on a Sunday?
My parents went yesterday.
There you go. I need to get back there. I need to get back before students get there. That's the
I need to.
Take it from me.
I need to as well. I've been promising my wife I'd take her.
Yeah. So, all of us, we got to put it on the calendar. Is it going to be this week? Maybe. Maybe not. Mm-hmm. We got to talk to Clayton. Get him involved, too.
Yes. It won't be this week. It won't be this week for me.
Ah.
I'll be in Columbus. Yeah,
you've got a lot of business going on this week. Yeah, we've got, as a matter of fact, our broadcasters convention Thursday.
Oh.
Yeah.
The joining of the minds, meeting of the minds.
I talked to our friend Jason Crowder, by the way, just about different ideas for the future. I said, you know, it would be a great little goodie bag item for all of our friends that do high school football. A little travel size wasp spray. Every press box, especially early in the season, you're going to fight them like mad.
Absolutely.
So that might be a nice little giveaway item.
Is it that bad?
If you're lucky enough to be in a press box and not on a deer stand.
Oh.
But the deer stands are worse.
Or a catwalk.
Oh.
Clinton, Louisiana, Silliman Institute. It swayed. It swayed with the stadium. It was just welded on, and you could see through the metal grate. And all my equipment was in a folding chair, and I was in a folding chair, and it was about 3 feet wide.
I did it from the bleachers when I was at Silliman. I didn't have enough guts to go up there.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, though. Yeah.
I did it from up there.
Now, my producer thought he would do it from up there, but he ended up coming down under the tent. It was raining that day, too.
Ooh,
so
no.
We managed. We called the game. They got the win, too. But nevertheless, it's going to be fun to get back with all of our broadcasting brethren coming up on Thursday. We may tell you a little bit about that next episode. Get a little recap going. So we represent the Crusaders and everything else that we do in broadcasting when we go up there to French Camp. That's going to do it for us on Crusader Talk. Next week, it's Coach Danny Owens for Coach Farrell, Josh West, and Dalton Stanford. I'm Caleb Hamill. Good night, God bless, and go Saders.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.